Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, work of thy fingers, the moon and stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Open the Bible, find him there. Open the Bible, don't despair. Open the Bible, see his face. Open the Bible, trust his grace. Open the Bible, look clearly above. Open the Bible and share God's love. What a wonderful Savior we have tonight. What a wonderful music this has been tonight. Hadn't it been great? Well, the music is always great around here. None of this Johnny get a cat gun, bigger than a rat gun, sis, ba, boom. But music that glorifies Christ. I was exceedingly proud as they had the graduates to walk across here this morning. What a beautiful picture. So great accomplishments. Even Nathan, he's finally, we thought he was going to be a career student. But he's graduating. He'll come through the line on Tuesday night, and we'll see these graduates of the Norris Bible Baptist Seminary. Thank God for what he's doing at Norris Bible Baptist Seminary. We're having the greatest days we've ever had. The Lord is so good, and so many wonderful things are happening. If you haven't been there in a good while, you will not know physically what's taken place to the buildings and the grounds since you were there last. It'll be worth that if you just go out there and then turn around and come back. You will not do that. You will stay to hear the preaching, the graduation, and all these things that are going to happen. What a wonderful thing it is to be a part of the Independent Baptist Fellowship and the Norris Bible Baptist Seminary. I'm glad you're a part of it. And this church is the mother church and has supported it and been a key part of it since day number one. Well, I've used enough runway. Let's get airborne. Open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible, The Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about. In the book of James, chapter number 4, as you're finding your place in the fourth chapter of the book of James, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives. And the Bible is right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Amen. And it's settled right here in this book that we call the Bible. It's inspired, it's infallible, it's inerrant, it's impeccable, it's indestructible, it's powerful and precious and perfect and pure and pontifical and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. Amen. I read from James chapter 4, beginning at verse number 13. And I'll go through verse number 15 and I'll read after we pray. Our Father, we are grateful now for this hour, for the music that has blessed our hearts, the instruments, the voices, all that have come together to be a blessing and a benediction to all of us. We thank you now for the opportunity of opening the Bible. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would take complete charge. You know every heart of every person in this room. Should there be those who know not Jesus Christ, may they come to trust him tonight. Should there be those that need to unite with the fellowship of this church, moving forward, reaching souls around the world, sending missionaries to the ends of the earth, may they come and place their fellowship with this fellowship. Those that need to be renewed in their faith and their strength in the Lord. Some are undergoing some trying, difficult times. Maybe came in discouraged and depressed and despondent. May they go out happy, joyfully rejoicing in the Lord, in the power of his might. I pray and ask it in his name and for his sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. In the book of James, chapter number 4, I read beginning at verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For he ought to say, now watch this, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now, without any harm or injury to the context or the text, I'm going to lift out of verse 14 a very powerful question. You already know what it is. What is your life? Where do we look for the answer to this question? If we turn to literature, we might find the answer to James's question, coming up with Shakespeare's famous line, life is a tale told by an idiot. They've gone, haven't they? No, I'm just kidding. Some of you will get that, and I appreciate that. Or Longfellow's definition, life is like a red, red rose. Or if we turn to philosophy, we might come up with the words of an unknown philosopher who said life is an unending process of thought. If we turn to an economist, he might say life is a trading post where we look for the best bargain. If we turn to a scientist, the scientist might say life is a biological composition made up of chemical formulas. If we turn to a politician, God forbid, he might say life is a race to the top rung of the political ladder. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? None of these answers satisfy us. And the reason they don't satisfy us, we know the origin of life and the meaning of it. We also know the continuation and the culmination of life. We know God. We know Jesus Christ. We know what the Bible says about it. We search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful from graven stone and written scroll and all old flower fields of the soul. And weary seekers of the best, we come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read. What a wonderful book this is. It has all the answers. You cannot devise or think of a question that you could not find the answer to in this book. You don't have any problem but what this book has the solution. Now, if you just go to sort of skim through it, you're probably not going to find it. But if you're willing to dig into it and read it and meditate upon it and hide it in your heart, you'll find it. We know, I said, what the Bible says about the origin of life. And it's written plainly in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. And by the way, you don't need a Hebrew lexicon to understand this. It's just plain English. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So much for evolution. Away with Darwin. Goodbye, John Huxley. We know that life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. I give you Jesus' word on here. I go quoting Jesus again already. I just love to quote Jesus. He said in Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" Now, did Jesus say, just throw it all to the wind and sit back and just take whatever? No, that's not what he said. What he was saying was this: major on the major. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We know there's a deeper meaning to life than bodily comfort or mental stimulation or lustful gratification. We know what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, not self, not the old man, not Adam, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." We know what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1. And verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Amen. To die is gain. Gain what? Gain heaven. Gain eternity with Jesus. Gain eternity with our families and friends and all the saints that have gone before. We know what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins." Underscore that word once. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there will never be another Garden of Gethsemane. There will never be another Pilate's Hall. There will never be another Crown of Thorns. There will never be another riven side. There will never be pierced feet and hands. There will never be another sacrifice for sin. For once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might," watch this, "bring us to God." Underscore those four words: bring us to God, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, being put to death, Peter goes on to say, in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. We know, ladies and gentlemen, what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We know what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. We know what Isaiah wrote 750 years before Jesus was born. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb before the slaughter, the sheep before the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. What a wonderful Savior. He bore your sins and mine in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Amen. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading, and give him my all. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. That's my introduction. Pastor, is that all right? Thank you, sir. Now I'm ready to start preaching. And I'll tell you when I'm ready to finish. We don't put the calendars and time limits on people around here. But I learned a long time ago, a sermon does not have to be eternal to be immortal. So just sit back and relax. I've entitled it, it may be a sequel, I didn't mean it this way, to my message this morning. You decide. The message is entitled, Life and What It's All About. When we were growing up, we were taught a childhood prayer. You probably were too. Went something like this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Can I paraphrase a word or two? If I should die before I wake up. Sadly enough, many people do die indeed before they live. Their obituary might read something like this. Died at age 40, buried at age 60. A lot of people I know are like that. Who are you? Who am I? Why are we living? Where are we going? How are we going to get there? These are the real questions to be answered. And I hasten to tell you they're to be answered by every person in this room, regardless of your age. Whether you're in your tender teens or teachable 20s or tireless 30s or fiery 40s or forceful 50s or serious 60s or sacred 70s or aching 80s, you got to answer these questions. We're all creatures of God. We all came from God. We're all going to return back to God. My friend, you need to understand you have a date with destiny. You need to understand that you have an appointment with the God of the universe. It is written in Romans 14 at verse 11. Paul said, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Therefore shall every one of us, did you get that? Every one of us give an account of ourselves to God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's in the book. and God wrote the book. I learned early on in my ministry to just quote God's word and let him speak for himself. He can do it, can't he? Oh, yes, he wrote it. He certainly knows how to speak it. I'm glad we have it written for us. Now, every person hearing these words will spend eternity, hear this now, in one place or another, either in heaven or in hell. Now, if you've been born again, saved by the blood of Jesus, you'll spend eternity in heaven. John gives us a commentary to some degree on that in Revelation 22, where he wrote, "He showed me a great white throne, and him that, no, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, flowing through from the throne of God. And the throne of God and the Lamb was in it." Now listen. And every one of us, listen carefully, will go to heaven and enjoy the good things of the Lord. Every one of us, he showed me a pure river of water of life freely, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. That's when the saints go marching in, Johnson. Let's sing it sometime. When the saints go marching in, will you be in that number? If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you die in your sins, your eternal destiny is hell. John also gives us a commentary on that. In the Revelation 20, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Amen. Question, is your name written there? On that page, bright and fair, is your name written there? By the way, you can go to heaven only one way, and that's the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. You know what Jesus said? Here I go quoting Jesus again. All right, I love to quote Jesus. You know that by now. He said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Amen. True enough, we have our hearts set on the sweet by and by, but we cannot escape the nasty now and now. The reason so many people are bored with life, they've never learned to live. Now's the time to tell you, you will never get out of life anything more than you put into life. I'm sure that every person in this room looked in the mirror at least once today. At least once. Some of us look more than once. Let's just admit it. We're all vain. You know what? You could have been shocked. Were you shocked when you looked? Disappointed? Pleased? I repeat, the mirror gave you back exactly what you put into it. And that's the way it is in life. Life will give you back exactly what you put into it. The poet said, I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged that evening when I counted my scanty store. For life is a just employer. He gives you what you ask. But once you set the wage, you must bear the task. I worked for a menial's hire, only to learn dismayed that whatever wage I'd ask of life, life would have paid. Nobody knows the true art of living until he comes into the right relationship with God. And I must tell you that this relationship comes only by experiencing the new birth. Into Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus said unto him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. How many times have you heard people say, and perhaps you've said it too, if I had my life to live over, wait a minute, chances are, if you could live your life over, you'd live it the same. The tragic truth is, you cannot live your life over. Life is a one-way street. By the way, if you're going in the wrong direction, I've got good news for you. God allows U-turns. I admonish you to make the best of your life the first time around, because there's no second chance. The great aim of your life should be to invest it in the cause of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. That's the only investment that will last for eternity. How many times did my dear stepmother say to me as I was growing up and to all the other kids, just one life, will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I have a stern warning. It comes out of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That word devour means to drink up. He's ready to drink you up, to swallow you down, to devour you. That's why, please don't miss this. That's why it is so important for every Christian to belong to the church and to be in fellowship with God's people. Amen. I remember almost 60 years ago, I was living in Danville, Virginia. I was associate pastor to my dad at the Baptist Tabernacle. And I was attending Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Every Sunday night at midnight, I caught the train, the Southern, they called it, out of Washington, D.C., and all the way down through Virginia, and stopped in Danville to pick me up. Forgive me, Lord. Stopped in Danville. I got on the train at midnight, and at 5:30 the next morning, we arrived in Greenville. And I was in school by 7 o'clock. So you students don't complain about getting up early and staying up late. It's always been that way. It always will be that way if you ever amount to anything. And if you can't make it, you won't amount to anything. Well, I better get off of that. I'm not getting anywhere with it. But you know, every train ticket that I bought had printed on it in bold print 4 words. Are you ready? No good if detached. Could I say this as kindly, compassionately, sweetly, lovingly, just like me, as I know how to say it? Your life as a Christian, detached, from the church and the fellowship of God's people cannot be as good, as fruitful, as productive as it could be and should be if you belong to the church. You see, God has no Christians anonymous. Every person that's saved ought to belong to the church. Well, the Bible says so, Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Nothing is more refreshing than to see a committed life in the fellowship of the church, whether it be in the pew or in the pulpit. A visitor said to a church member one time, in the middle of the message, "Why doesn't your pastor clear his throat and speak up louder?" The member answered, "This man has been our pastor for 20 years. He has some very serious throat problems. He's had a number of very serious surgeries, and the last one left his vocal cords so weak he can speak no louder and no clearer." "Well," said the visitor, "why don't you just get a new pastor?" Please don't miss what the member said. This man's life is his best sermon. And we just love to see him walk into the pulpit. What a commentary that is. Best sermon. We love to see him walk into the pulpit. You know, there's an abundance of religion in America, but a scarcity of genuine Christians. A box of tools and a union card does not make a mechanic or a carpenter. A golf club and a sporty cap does not make a golfer. Some of you guys have found that out. A driver's license and a car does not make a driver. Stay tuned. A Bible under the arm and a sanctified grin on the face do not make a Christian. It takes repentance and regeneration to make a Christian. Matthew 3 and verse 1 says, "In those days came John the Baptist in the wilderness preaching and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Jesus was a preacher of repentance. I'm going to quote Jesus again. Luke 13:5. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Paul, in his magnificent message on Mars Hill, preached repentance. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Ladies and gentlemen, we are serving a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Methuselah gets the blue ribbon for being the oldest man on record. But you know what? That's all he gets. The only thing said about what he did is recorded in Genesis 5:27, and here it is. All the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And he died. And you know what, my friend? Someday the same thing will be said about you. And he died, or and she died. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The surest thing about your life is your death. Our planet Earth is the largest cemetery in the universe. May I get personal? Let me ask you, what kind of legacy are you going to leave behind? What will they say about you after you're gone? How will your obituary read? What will the pastor say at your funeral? Are you ready to meet God? Let's stand for our prayer. Heads are bowed and the Holy Spirit speaks. If you're not ready to meet God because you've never been saved, let me tell you how you can. By the way, the altar's open. The invitation's already begun. If God's speaking to your heart, don't wait till we sing. Don't wait till we pray. Just step out of your seat and find a place around the altar. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is a word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And whosoever, aren't you glad it's that way? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Perhaps you're here tonight and God has opened your eyes about some things in your own life. May I get personal again while every head's bowed? What if you knew that you were going to die within the next 10 minutes? Could you die just like you are? Are there some changes that you need to make in your life? Is there a relationship with a family member or a friend or a co-worker or a church member that you need to rebuild and reestablish? Is there someone you need to ask forgiveness from or forgiving someone else? You don't know that you're not going to die in the next 10 minutes. If there's something you need to change, some sin to confess, something to talk to God about, I bid you come around to this old-fashioned altar and talk to God about it tonight. We're going to pray, and Brother Johnson's going to lead us in the invitation appeal, and I bid you come. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. All over this congregation, men and women and young people, searching, longing, hoping, looking. Help them to find it all in Jesus. For those who need to trust the Savior, may they come. For those who need to unite with the fellowship of the church and be joined up with God's people, help them to realize they cannot survive the onslaughts of Satan out there by themselves. They need the church. They need a pastor. They need the fellowship. Help us all to obey you tonight around the altar. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads are still bowed. Holy Spirit speaks. Brother Johnson leads us. You step out right now. Would you come on? Right now, while the Holy Spirit speaks.